Well, Father, I look around and I see new faces. I see familiar faces. And I want to thank you for each one that came out tonight to sit at your table and eat fresh manna from heaven. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you to be here tonight in all of God's glory. Holy Spirit, you minister to God's people in a way they've never been ministered to before. Let them leave here, Father, changed and rearranged. Let them leave here tonight, Father God, with your will on their minds. And Father, we just thank you for the Godhead. We just thank you, Father God, that you love us so desperately that you gave your Son so we could one day sit in heavenly places with you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads, guides, and directs us in every way that you would have us to go. We thank you for the angelic host who are already here this night. We thank you, Father God, that we have all authority in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot going on out there in the world. Things that I thought I would never see. I'm glad you people are homeschooling your children, because we see that the schools are going down really bad. And I've even read where kids said that they don't want to go to regular schools, that they wish their parents would put them, homeschool them. But parents don't want to do that because they need their freedom. Don't have the money or whatever it is. There's so much to pray for, so much to be happy for, grateful for. But what are you doing with your walk with God? Are you making it productive, or are you just an empty vessel? I'm not putting you down. I'm going to teach you about why hell doesn't know most of the church, okay? So I'm asking these questions so you can already ask yourself, what kind of a vessel am I really? And what kind of a light do I have? Is it a dim light? Is it a bright light? Or no light at all? Am I just a Christian in words only? Or do I really look like a Christian and act like one? All right. Well, how do you look like a Christian? Everybody's different, So how do we know where God is? We follow the rules in the Bible. Holiness and righteousness is where it all begins. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. You have to have that rock foundation of love, which we don't see much of anymore. Every time you pick up a paper, somebody's shooting somebody. It's just a mess, isn't it? So, guys, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a Father who loves us, a Father who protects us, and he even lets us go through the furnace of affliction. Amen. 1 Peter 3:14 says, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror." neither be troubled. This verse is a reminder that those who suffer for doing what is right will be blessed, and should not be afraid of the consequences of their actions. The message of the cross has been greatly diluted in the church today. Just a salt that has lost its savor and is good for nothing but to be thrown, be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And Matthew 5:13 says, "It is written, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast down and be trodden underfoot of men." So this verse here is a metaphorical expression used by Jesus to teach his disciples about their role in the world. The problem, I think, really lies in the body of Christ, lies in the fact you don't read your word. If you don't read, and if you do read it, you really don't understand it. And the reason why you don't understand it is because you have not invited the Holy Spirit to come with you when you're reading it. If the Holy Spirit leads, guides, and directs us in all of our ways. And I found out the only way you can really understand what the Word is saying is if you ask the Holy Spirit to come and read the word with you and reveal the secrets that's in that word. All right. Moral compromise and selfish ambition have greatly weakened the American church. The gospel of success has tainted us and diluted our power with God and man, while the gospel that brings true persecution is kept under a bushel. The reverential fear of the Lord, which is a prerequisite of real revival and spiritual awakening, is clearly absent from the general overall church, save for a faithful remnant. We are not showing the world the true Jesus. We are compromising in every area of our life. Now, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't fit, please just be comfortable and listen and agree. You know, whenever you get upset when the word's being spoken and it's the truth, then that means somewhere in you there's something that's not right, and that thing in you is being upset because it's about ready to be revealed. I don't know what's wrong with my throat. I wasn't like this when I came in. I'm fine, though. I got water here. What was you going to do, give me a lozenger? It'll click on my teeth, and then, you know, it'll go click, click, click in the thing. All right, let's look here. Compare the ministry in the early church to the ministry in the mainstream Western church today. We boast in our moments. Just listen to what we're saying here. We boast in our moments, our meetings, and our men. I'm sorry, monuments. The Apostle Paul boasted of the Messiah, martyrdom, and the marks on his body. In Galatians 6:17 says, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. All right? So we boast in our creeds and credentials. We delight in putting our titles before our names. Paul boasted in the cross and crucifixion, though he was a very learned and educated man in his own right. We boast of being slain in the spirit. Paul boasted of being stoned in the city. We boast of our programs and prosperity. Paul boasted of persecutions and prisons. We boast in our gain. Paul boasted in his loss. You see this? See the difference? You know, God told me years and years ago, that I'm an apostle, but you don't see that anywhere on anything that I have. That was just from my information. The world doesn't need to know that. And if the world needs to know it, God will reveal it to them. Oh, I'm apostle so-and-so, and I'm bishop so-and-so. You know, you didn't hear Jesus go around saying that, did you? Yeah, and please don't be upset. I'm just trying to tell you what God's trying to get across to the people. You know, in fact, God told me one time, I do not like titles. So, you know, we go around titling ourselves. We want to be seen. That's my opinion. You can have your own opinion, all right? Did he know something we don't? You know, Paul, 2 Corinthians 4:12, so then death works in us, but life in you. And that just, you know, I didn't quite understand that. So the meaning of 2 Corinthians 4:12 is that the process of death working in Paul's team had no saving power, but it produced fruit. The verse implies that instead of challenging Paul's credentials, the Corinthians should be grateful to God for what Paul has endured to bring them life through the gospel of Jesus. I'm going to read that again. This verse implies that instead of challenging Paul's credentials, the Corinthians should be grateful to God for what Paul has endured to bring them life through the gospel of Jesus. The verse can also be interpreted as referring to the sufferings of the body of Christ, the church, for his sake. Let me just, you know, he said that, as we said here, instead of challenging Paul's credentials, which they were doing, you know, when I was first ordained, I went to the church and they said, well, what credentials do you have? I said, I don't. They said, well, have you gone to Bible school, college? I said, no. Well, have you done this? Have you done? And no, I haven't done any of that. I said, in my natural, I said, I've gone to college. I have college degrees, but I haven't gone to Bible school because God told me not to. He didn't want me to get engraved with the men's doctrine. He wanted the Holy Spirit to teach me all that I know. And that's the way it happened. Well, the pastor didn't want to do it, but the wife stood up and said, "We're going to ordain this young lady because it is by the Holy Spirit. God is having her be ordained, not man." So what I'm saying, you know, don't worry about what credentials you have as long as God is calling you. And just like this man did not want to, but the Holy Spirit moved so strong. And I was praying, "Dear God, please let me go off this stage and go down there and sit down," because I was embarrassed. And then all of a sudden his wife stood up and said, "This Holy Spirit is ordaining her, not us." And then and everybody's the whole atmosphere changed. So if you'll just be still, you didn't have to, I could have got up and said, "Well, this, I didn't say a word except answer the questions. God moved on my behalf." You need to quit vindicating yourself. God will vindicate you. You don't have to. Are you hearing me? All right, today most ministries are known for their great preaching, large congregations, books they've written, and countries they've been to. You know, somebody said to me one time, "If I can't preach to 100, I'm not going to preach to 40. You know, the Bible says, "Do not despise small beginnings," doesn't it? Paul's letter of recommendation was based on the sacrifice and sufferings he endured to obey God and preach the gospel. All the great souls who have been made fit for the master's use are all acquainted with suffering in one form or another. Are you listening? When God first called me, he's a daughter, he said, "My people will suffer for my sake." And he said, "You will suffer because you're mine." So I always knew I was going to suffer. I just didn't know how much. The body of Christ is very cruel. American Christianity, on the other hand, is conditioned to avoid suffering at all costs. I was thrown out of a church because I went to the pastor and said, "God told me that we would suffer for his sake." And she said, "Don't you ever say that again. A child of God never suffers." And she said, "You just keep your mouth shut." She told people, "Don't listen to things she says, because what she says is not right." And I was politely asked to not come back. All through the Bible, it tells you you're going to suffer. All right? And God already told me, "You're going to suffer. You're one that will suffer." Maybe not, we suffer in different levels. Yeah, we just suffer in different levels. And, some might just suffer a little. Some might suffer a great. Paul suffered greatly, didn't he? Jesus suffered greatly. All right, where am I at? Some will even rebuke suffering and continually seek to place themselves above it. If it's inconvenient, if it involves sacrifice, if it involves losing your life, most don't want any part of it. According to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the one Paul referred to as my gospel, any desire to save your life is a false desire. You find that in Mark 8:35. Matthew 16:25, and Luke 14:27, and verse 33. All right, then I said, listen up. The American gospel of success is based on saving your life, improving your life, and chasing your dream, even though it is not God's dream for you. Read that again. The American gospel of success is based on saving your life, improving your life, and chasing your dream, even though it is not God's dream for you. Many of these false desires are cloaked under the guise of ministry, making them even more deceptive and deadly. I've told it before, and I'll tell you again. Everything you lay your hands to do, you better put God in the center of it. It better be a God-ordained thing, or don't do it at all. I know somebody built a beautiful ministry for the Lord, and they lost it all. And I said, was God in it? Did you ask God if you could do this? And they said, well, why would God disapprove of this wonderful thing I did? Because it was not a God thing. It's better to put God in it right at the very front and keep it than leave God out of it and build it up and lose it. Peter actually rebuked Jesus for choosing the way of the cross, much like the spirit of most today's hyper-grace teachers who convey that it's okay to live as you please, never suffer, and exert any effort or discipline in your walk with God. I hear that a lot from preachers, and that's not the gospel. And they will even label someone a legalist or bound to the law when they reject this basis brand of wisdom. Added to this mild message for the itchy ears, we have the sellers of the motivational seminar. You can have it all, success in life, pop psychology, and candy Christianity. These are our enemies who hide in our midst under the veil of false pretense. All right, so I said Peter actually rebuked Jesus for choosing the way of the cross. Now here Jesus rebukes Satan as he would rebuke these groups today, for he recognized the diabolical source of Peter's words as demonic, and this is what Jesus said. All right, Matthew 16:21, from the time that Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. See, he told his disciples, this is what I'm going to have to go through. This is the problem with the body of Christ. If you tell the body of Christ that God told you to do something that's making you suffer, they'll say you didn't hear God's voice. And they'll rebuke you all over the place. After Jesus told his disciples this, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." If you're really following God with all of your heart and you're listening to everything you do is God ordained, people are not going to believe you. Because you will suffer, God will call you to do things that he can't call somebody else to, because they would never do it. They're not going to give up their life for nothing. And if you're really going to win souls, you're going to have to give up your life. You're going to have to give up your wants and your desires. A soul is more important to God than anything else. When he told me I had to quit asked me to quit my job, he said, my paycheck will be greater than the world's. Well, when I quit my job, I went into poverty. God's paycheck is souls, not money, souls. Are you listening? Where I had an overflow of money now, you know, I just make it every month. But I did what God asked me to do. I gave up that paycheck to serve him in the gospel. Souls are being won. People's lives are being changed. Are you understanding this? Jesus guarded his death more than he did his life, and that's my main point here. Speaking of enemies, the words of Paul rang just as true now as they did back then. Let's go to Philippians 3:17. So when I said Jesus guarded his death, you know, he told him what was going to happen to him. When they said, no, there's no way that's going to happen, then he rebuked them. He knew he had to go to that cross. And he didn't let anybody take that away from him. Philippians 3:17, brothers, become fellow imitators with me and observe those who walk according to our example. For many are walking in such a way that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I have told you of them often and tell you again, even weeping. Their destination is destruction. Their God is their appetite. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. Two of the characteristics of an enemy of the cross is that their belly is their God and they mind earthly things. Think about that. A lot of people think they're saved or not saved. I don't know if you know that or not. God showed me that right up front. He said, you're going to run into the hypocrites all over the place. And they're going to profess they're saved and they're not. All right, this is such a picture of how Western Christianity is depicted. It is a gross delusion of the original blueprint Jesus and the early apostles delivered. The majority of the churches don't follow the Bible. Some man writes something and everybody grabs hold of him and says, that's the gospel. You know, once saved, always saved. That's not true. The Bible says that's not true. And what he says is you work out your salvation how? Daily. Every day we could lose our salvation. And my kids say, will you go to heaven? I said, I don't know. I have to work out every day until that day comes. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. I'm believing I am, but I don't really know. We believe a lot of things that we really don't know. We don't know the outcome of them. All right, where am I at? It is a gross delusion. The message of the cross has been greatly diluted in the church today. Just as salt that has lost the Savior and is good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. A Christ-like spirit of self-denial is what flavors the earth. A Christ-like spirit of self-denial is what flavors the earth. You know this, I'm going to say it again. You know, the church was packed out every night. We was here every night. Miracles flowing every night. And God told me he wanted me to marry my second husband. I did not want to do that for a majority of reasons. After a month of fighting with God, I said, all right, what's going to happen with this? When you announce your wedding, you're going to lose half of the church. When you get married, everybody's going to leave you but a handful. That's exactly what happened. He said, but I need you to do this. I promised his grandmother that he would get saved. And you're the only woman I can find that won't go down to his level, but you'll bring him to your level. When he died, he was saved and went to heaven. But I had to give up my ministry. I had to give up all those miracles that were happening every night. I gave a lot for that soul. But I don't, you know, it doesn't bother me. God asked me to do it, and a soul was saved. It's all about souls. All right, this is the real reason much of the church is despised and disrespected by the world and trampled underfoot. It's because we act just like the world. You know, when I was born again, I always went to church, but then I got born again and found about, you know, God speaks this, that, and the other. And I went into church. I thought, oh, this is going to be so wonderful. I have never been so abused in my life as I was when I went into a church, a born-again church. The men were lustful. The women were jealous. There was arguments, divisions everywhere. And I thought, this is a church? Yeah. No. This is why God said this church is a hospital. We are not here to lust after you. We're not here to take your money from you. We're not here to do anything but see that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you work on your own salvation after that. All right? Have you ever thought about this? In the beginnings of the early church, multitudes were added to the church, while simultaneously many would not dare join themselves to the believers. And Acts 5:12 says in the Message Bible, through the work of the apostles, many God signs were set up among the people, and many wonderful things were done. They all met regularly and in remarkable harmony on the temple church, named after Solomon. They were in one mind and one accord. They weren't concerned who was ahead. They weren't going to concern who God was going to use. They were just met on a regular basis to see that souls could be saved. But even though people admired them a lot, outsiders were wary about joining them. Even though the unsaved admired what they were doing, they wouldn't get saved. And that wasn't the apostles' job to get them saved. It was just to be an example of Jesus and give them the word. Verse 14 said, on the other hand, those who put their trust in the master were added right and left, men and women both. They even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on the stretchers and bedrolls, hoping they would be touched by Peter's shadow when he walked by. They came from the villages surrounding Jerusalem, throngs of them bringing the sick and bedeviled, and they all were healed. Why? Because Peter and his people served God. They weren't worried about what was going to happen to them. They were just there showing the people Jesus, the love of Jesus, and preaching the truth to them. And because they were walking in righteousness and holiness, just people walking by them would be healed. The Spirit was so strong within them. Think about this. What is your life like? What happens when you walk by people? or you can read about the Laodicean church in Revelations 3, 14 through 22. In this Laodicean age, which we are in right now, this is where we fall so short. The scourge of American Christianity is the wisdom of men and gaining respectability in society at the expense of holiness and preaching a non-compromise gospel. The result has been an awful mixture of the spirit of the world. We don't want to lose church members, respectable associations, and fair-weather friends. This mixture is why we have no power and are without true public respect and influence. Yes, we will be persecuted, but our problem has been that we don't want that part. We don't want to be persecuted. When I was first born again, of course, I went to every pastor's meeting there was. First thing I was asked was, how big is your church? How many times have you gone overseas? Well, my church has 6 people in it. I haven't been overseas at all. And you know what? Lo and behold, everybody left my table. They went to the other tables, never come back to visit with me again. They weren't there for God. They were there to brag about what they were doing. You know, how many people were in their church, how big was their building, how often they went overseas. Never once did I hear about souls. I don't go to pastors' meetings. My meeting's with Jesus. And, you know, I don't care what you do, but God's told me, separate yourself. So that's what I do. Right now around here, people think that I'm some weird thing because I never show up at pastors' meetings. I don't intend to. I don't need the mixture of the world in what God's doing with me. And I'm not saying they're all wrong. I'm not. I just know what goes on in pastors' meetings. And then when I hear them talk about it later, it's even gotten worse than when I first started 40 years ago. So you can do whatever you want to do, but you know, you need to hear God's voice so you know what you're going to do. And what's really bad is it's always men, and the men are so full of pride, it's pitiful. And you hear the pride all over the room, you know. And of course, if you're a woman, they ignore you. So, you know, we're all in, if you read the Bible, women were prophesying and teaching way back when. You know, it's just not a now thing. And if God didn't want it to happen, he wouldn't have had it in his word. Okay, so I said, we don't want to be persecuted. We don't want to have people. Somebody said to me in the night, well, I got to say something to her. I have to say something to her before she goes, woo, and disappears. I don't stick around after service. I have nothing to talk about. I've already given you whatever God told me to give you. Anything else is just idle chatter. And I can't do anything for you. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit that does everything. Are you understanding this? All right, the result, I guess that's where I'm at. No, you can read. You can read what God said to all 7 churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. God's called us the Philadelphia church. I don't know what your church is. Please understand that the early church experienced persecution, while at the same time being sought after and favored by the multitudes who recognized their authenticity and power. So, you know, you'll be persecuted, but whenever people see that you're really of God, they'll want to hear from you. When they know that you're really and truly speaking what the Holy Spirit's speaking, they want to hear. Most people come in here for a prophetic word. And we don't mind that because we're a prophetic church. And I know people need to hear from God, you know, and so we don't mind that, and we don't put that down or nothing. But guys, I'm here to tell you, if you're really going to serve God 100%, you're going to be persecuted. People are going to say, all men are, you know that, right, Amy? Once you start preaching the word, then the devil really got on you, didn't he? You know, once you the devil sees you're sold out to God, I mean to tell you, everything he has in hell is thrown at you. And you think, does he have anything left? Possibly left. All right, the wisdom of men looks so smart and fools us because it is mixed with the desire for acceptance and respect. That is a scourge of the modern church today. And this is what God is going to put his finger on with his next coming move. This will actually bring a great division between the white hot church and the lukewarm. You think there is a division now. just wait until the Lord brings his winnowing fork to the body, because he's getting ready to do something drastic to the body. We bring God to shame when we do these stupid worldly things that we do. It is premature to look for a spiritual awakening in our nation until we see this process of surrender and submission in the church. The church in Laodicea was lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. We've sort of misunderstood this indictment, but I want to tell you right now, all the stuff that's going on around the world, God's trying to get America's attention. Big God told me 20 years ago, he said, daughter, when I'm through with America, you won't even recognize it. He said, I'm going to do what I have to do to get the church's attention. I wish the churches would hurry up and let God get their attention, don't you? Because all this stuff that's going on is horrible. Look at David. When David sinned and God sent the angels to kill the people, and David saw what God was doing, he said, please make them stop. Please don't make the people pay for what I did. And you know what? The people are paying for what the church hasn't done. Because the church has not straightened up and preaching holiness and righteousness, people are paying for that, and I think that's a shame. I really do. So if you're going to take on the cloak of Jesus and preach the word, do it right, or don't do it at all. Give God 100%. God told me when I first started, I don't want 99.9 of you. I want 100%, or I can't use you at all. So if you're holding on to 1%, God can't use you. He needs every part of you, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. All right? All right, so I said the church in Laodicea was lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. We've sort of misunderstood this indictment. I thought I ran across this late this afternoon. I thought it was neat. We have often interpreted it as if hot meant godly enthusiasm and cold meant ungodly antagonism. But there is another explanation that suits the historical and geographical context better. Laodicea, the city, was situated between two other important cities, Colossae and Colossae, wedged into a narrow valley in the shadow of towering mountains, was watered by icy streams that tumbled down from the heights. Now listen to this. In contrast, was famous for its hot mineral springs, which flowed out of the city and across the high plain until it cascaded down a cliff that faced Laodicea. By the time the water reached the valley floor, it was lukewarm, putrid, and nauseating. The parallel is striking. At Colossae, one could be refreshed with clear, cold, invigorating water. And at this other place, one could be healed by bathing in its hot, mineral-laden pools. But at Laodicea, the waters were neither hot for health nor cold for drinking or good for nothing. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? That's 19:15. All right, so here, Paulus, I know, Colossae, I know, but who are you, Laodicea? And we are, not us, but the church is at large, is a Laodicean church. They're not hot, they're not cold, they're absolutely good for nothing, and souls are going to hell every second because the church will not straighten up and walk in holiness and righteousness and preach the true gospel, not the mixed gospel. Very few American churches and ministers are known in hell. Now, God told me a long time ago, he said, hell knows your name. And hell knows the Lighthouse Church. And the minute you put your feet to the floor, all hell trembles. And the enemy has to take you out. And so for 40 years, we worked with the enemy trying to take us out. He hasn't stopped yet. He's going to keep on he's not going to take us out, but he's going to keep on until he finds out, hey, these people aren't going anywhere. I can't get a hold of them. I can't get a hold of the ministers, so therefore the people are going to be strong too. Are you understanding this? They couldn't get a hold of Jesus. They couldn't get a hold of Paul. They couldn't get a hold of Peter. And so the people were saved. Don't let them get a hold of you. Because once they get a hold of you, everybody you talk to is gone. They're watching you. They're watching everything you do and say. They're watching. They're just waiting for you to mess up. So don't go out there bragging about what you're due for God until you know without a shadow of a doubt you've got it together. Well, see, with me, I was dumb. And when God called me, I didn't know tiddly squat. And I just did what he told me to do, not even realizing what I was doing. And I don't know how many of you have done that. Just fall in the spirit of God, and God was just signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, the dead being raised and everything else. But all along the way, you know who tried to take me out? The churches. The churches. Don't you go down to their church. He's a devil. Well, you know, my word tells me Beelzebub can't cast out Beelzebub, and we cast out a lot of devils. All right? All right, if you're so good with God, why are you sick? I'm paying a price right now. I'm a testimony. Are you understanding this? Very few American churches minister known in hell unless you've obeyed the master in denying yourself and taking up your cross, following Jesus, and truly seeking the kingdom of God. You are hardly a threat to the kingdom of darkness. So let me ask you a question right now. When you open your eyes and put your feet on the floor, does hell tremble? Let's not lie. Some days I lay in bed, I say, God, can't put my feet out there yet. I have to gather myself together. Because you're laying in bed and all hell's breaking loose around about you. You have to get your wits to yourself before you put your feet on the floor. But if not, because you're going to get down there in doubt and unbelief. And so I'm just telling you what I do. I just lay down to the devil. You're not the winner. Jesus is. And when my feet hit that floor, you better start running. I do that. Because I knew I am in Christ. I know I have that power and authority. I walked in it. And we're going to walk in it again. The glory is going to drop, and you're going to see a great revival happen here in Delaware. Are you going to be part of it, or are you going to be standing on the wayside thinking, oh, well, I guess what they did was right? You know, that's up to you, because God told us years ago that this is the way it was going to be. If you didn't get in the water now, whenever you wouldn't be able to get in the water later either. So God's been dealing with his church for quite a few years now. People coming and going, people listening on the thing. You need to get it right. You need to get it right, or when the glory does drop, you're done. You can't come in. The door will be closed. Are you listening? If you read about the Philadelphia church, we're a very small church, even weak, but we're steadfast with Christ. And one day all those who have mocked us will come in here and sit in the glory. That's the Philadelphia church is. The Laodicean church might fall along the wayside unless the pastors get themselves together, you know, and start teaching the truth of the word. But you who are sitting here today, I don't care if you have a ministry, I don't care who you are, if you're going to follow Christ, then give him 100% of yourself. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, a lot of things God's asked me to do, I didn't want to do. I knew the pain, I knew what was going to happen, because he'd tell me ahead of time. But when he asked me to marry my second husband, and about a couple months into it, I said, God, why did you tell me this? He said, you wouldn't have done it. He said, so now you're in it, and I'm going to walk through it with you. Are you understanding this? Come on. You know, do you serve a God or don't you? Do you serve a God who really hears you, that you can talk to? You can talk to him just like you do yourself sometime. And he's listening. He's listening all the time. You don't need another person to be a sounding board. You need to talk to God. You know, and you have to say to God every day, God, here I am. I'm your servant. My ears are in tune to your still small voice. Use me any way you want to. Tell me anything you want to, because you and I are one. And then go about your business, and God will talk to you. And, you know, he gossips with you sometimes. You know, tells you all different things is what I'm saying. And you don't have to, like I told Brother Chris, you don't have to sit and pray in tongues for 2 hours to be close to God. He wants you to be who you are. You know, one time when I first started, you know, I was trying to imitate all other pastors, you know, and because I wanted to be like they were. And one day I said, God, who am I? He said, I don't know. He says, you're trying to be everybody else. I really don't know who you are anymore. You know? So does he know who you are? And do you know who you are? And then I had to stop and think about that. You're trying to be like this and you're trying to be like that. I called you with your personality. I didn't call what they were already called. But, you know, they had their own personality. But he called me with, what did he do with Moses? Moses stuttered. God knew that. Moses said, I stutter. God already knew that. You know? God knows all about you. So just go ahead and be you. And just go ahead and talk to God. And let him minister to you. Let him use you. Some of you are looking at me like I have two heads. I really have three. You just don't see the third one. But anyhow, what I'm telling you is the truth. And the truth will set you free. And you're not going to save everybody. Some people are just not going to get saved. And those people will talk about you and run you down behind your back and gossip, carry on. But they did the same thing to Jesus. I'll tell you what Jesus told me. I was boo-hooing and feeling sorry for myself one day talking to God. He said, just go read the Word. Read all the red letters and see what my son went through. And then after you do that, come back to me and we'll talk. I never went back to finish that conversation. Because I wasn't going through anything that Jesus was going through. Maybe you all need to go get your Word and read all the red letters in the New Testament is everything that went on with Jesus. But then maybe you won't complain the way you do. I'm not saying you're complainers. I'm just teaching you something tonight. You know, is your name known in hell? And when your feet hit the floor, does all hell tremble? That's what this is all about. And if you have a church, is your church known in hell? You know how we know that President Trump is from God? He is persecuted to the very core. And the people who should be persecuted are out there doing all kind of evil. They're not of God. How do you know if you're of God? It's because you'll be persecuted. That's how you know you're real. And you know, sometimes I've said to the devil, you know, I get all upset. And then I say, okay, devil, you just made a big mistake. You just did this to me. Now I know I'm God's child because he's trying to tell me I wasn't. I know I'm God's child or you wouldn't have come and said all this to me. Are you listening? He tries to tear you down. Don't let him tear you down. Greater is the Father in heaven than that little thing under our feet. Now, are you going to be one of those that's going to get, when the glory hits, that God's going to use? One person's not going to be able to save all these souls. I want to let you know that. One church is not. God has his remnant churches that he's pulled forth, and those are the churches he's going to use to bring in a harvest. So it's up to you. God says it's up to you tonight. Do you want all I have? If you do, then I want all you have. No more holding back. No more making excuses. You're either all in or you're all out. So tonight, God's saying as you come to the altar, if you want to be all in, giving me 100%, then I will drop all of myself onto you, giving you 110%. So the altar's open. If you want to come up and have God drop himself upon you so that you will be sold out to him 100%, and you'll never again have the devil harassing you.